T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like capaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Sal's going to join us on our Western Hotline and brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good Thursday morning to you, Mr. Capaccio. How are you today?
I'm excellent, guys. While I was waiting in the break, I was texting with our friend John Scott from Spectrum News, and he said, aren't you supposed to be on the radio? And I said, yes. And he said, well, I'm at the gym listening, so I can't figure out. You tell me, do you think John was saying that to let me know he was at the gym or to let me know he was listening?
Or to let us know we were late.
That's where I honestly thought you were going with that story. I thought you were
Wait. That was totally mentioned by me, not him. I said, I'm waiting as usual.
I thought that's why he was texting you, Sal, it's 8:07, 8:08. Why aren't you speaking yet?
That was my response, which was, I'm waiting as usual. I have time to text with
we're
you.
Fine. We're in the plus minus. Oh. The plus minus window is give or take 5 minutes. So I think we're in that, as long as it's not 8:10 or later, I think we're okay. We're on time as far as I'm concerned.
And John is probably the biggest, like, you know, if there's a guy in the media, guy or girl in the media, you'd say, like, he's at the gym every morning listening, it would be him.
I've heard of gyms. All right. Let's just get right to it.
It's not you.
No.
It's not you.
No, I've been in one. I've been in a gym before. I mean, I took gym in school. The injury report. Let's start there. What do we need to know?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what's going on with Gabriel Davis here, but typically, as I always tell you guys for many years now, we've been doing this together, I wouldn't read too much into the Wednesday injury report. It's the day that you want to kind of back off on guys a little bit. Something's going on, so we'll see. But he did not practice with an ankle injury. Two other guys didn't practice, Mario Addison, Cole Beasley. They had vet rest days. That happens. The good news is Star Lotulelei was there. He was limited, and people want to see. I actually put some video up on him on my Twitter page yesterday of him, you know, kind of doing some reps with the D-line. So that's good news, obviously. Remember, Isaiah McKenzie left the game but did return with the shoulder, and then Milano also with an ankle, both limited as well. But I think the only one to really concern yourself with, I would think, at this point is Gabriel Davis, but then to also monitor Star Lotulelei.
We were wondering earlier, Sal, and if you got a question for Sal about the Bills or a comment or opinion you'd like to share, call us up right now, and we'll get you on 803-0550. We were talking earlier about the game plan. What might Brian Daboll do in terms of a game plan against Miami? Now, they did a lot of 4 and 5 receiver sets, and I mentioned the stat earlier. They ran a 5 receiver set 9 times against Pittsburgh. The rest of the league, all the other 31 teams, ran 1 5 receiver set play the other day. So maybe they go back to 11 personnel a little bit more. If Davis can't play, would that pretty much mean, you think, I know they have McKenzie, I know they have Kumerow, but if Davis can't go, would you expect more 11 personnel then?
No, I don't think that determines it.
Okay.
I think the game plan is the game plan, and they have their guy. They have guys that they'll just put somebody else there. Mm-hmm. I don't think if you're missing Stephon Diggs, it might be one thing to determine. Maybe you alter the game plan a little bit because he's Stephon Diggs, he's your number one wide receiver. How do we massage this a little bit? I don't think when you're talking about guys beyond that you really have any impact on that type of game planning. I think the game plan is the game plan, and it's next man up. And here's part of the reason why. So let's say you have a full complement of players. and Gabriel Davis is playing, for example. And on the second play of the game, he twists an ankle and he goes out. You can't alter the entire game plan because, oh my gosh, we lost this guy. We have to go now more 11 personnel. Like, the game plan's the game plan. And you got to go into the game thinking how it is the best to beat the Miami Dolphins. So, no, I would not think of that. It's interesting you say that about, you know, the spreads and wide receivers. And, you know, I'm caught in this spot thinking about it, which is I agree that maybe, you know, they have to change some things up. I really like what Marcus Spears said. You guys played the clip earlier. Mm-hmm. He said, and I agree with this, he said, I think the Bills just went out and kind of tried to do what they did last year, and it just didn't work, and the Steelers had a good game plan. It doesn't mean that they can't change or they're not going to look at themselves and do some things different. But at the same time, guys, that worked a lot last year.
Yeah, right.
And they're really good at it, and that's their strength, and I don't want this team to go away from their strength either, you know what I mean?
I agree. I mean, there is an identity. You have an identity. I mean, you want to adjust each week, and there might be each week you might find, hey, this team, you know, their run defense stinks. We could really shred it. But there is an identity you shouldn't really stray far from if you're the Bills. The recipe for success for them this season would still be leaning on Josh Allen and the passing game. And I think, Sal, it also gets to the whole concept of the idea of a good matchup and a bad matchup. That's three games against the Steelers. And in none of those games has the Bills' offense really looked that good. You know, when they played Miami, since Josh has been here, he looks really good. So I'm with you. I asked Jeremy earlier if you think, well, would we see more run plays? The passing game struggled, their nose tackles out, their run defense isn't as good as their pass defense. Don't stray away from your identity. I mean, do what you do best. And don't let Pittsburgh scare you, you know?
Agreed. I saw someone yesterday tweeting about how, like, the Bills ran empty so much. You know, they maybe it's the same stat you're referring to. They ran empty. Like,
it would have been nine.
The rest,
nine times.
It's the same stat you referred to, yeah. Exactly. I think you just put it in a different way, but it's the same stat. And again, you know, my first thought is, well, no one seemed to complain last year when they scored 31 points a game doing this. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
sure,
right.
There is something to be said. Now, look, I'll be the first to tell you, like, this is a chess match. It's one of the reasons I love football so much is throughout the week you figure it out. You go back and you look at what you can do and you try to kind of move the pieces around and say, how can we do something different? And there has to be some of that, right? There has to be, because other teams have studied the Bills. They've studied them during the offseason. This is the team we need to beat. I'm quite sure the Pittsburgh Steelers did. The Miami Dolphins did. They're going to have a game plan. So the Bills have to adjust. They have to counter. There's no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, they have Josh Allen. They have all these good receivers. And they should not stray too far from who they are. They just need to kind of maybe adjust and sprinkle in some other things to make sure that they can counter what the defense is presenting them.
Sean McDermott was asked yesterday about matchups, right? Do you believe that there's a good matchup, a bad matchup? And if so, why does that happen? And he's like, nah. He didn't really say much except nah. Why has Josh Allen played so well against Miami? And do you believe in a good matchup, bad matchup overall?
I do in one sense. Miami has been more of a man-to-man team, and I think the Bills have had really good man-to-man receivers to beat that.
Yep.
You know, I know they've struggled with some physical stuff sometimes with other teams. I don't think Miami really gets into that as much, you know, coming up and pressing and being really physical like we've seen the Ravens do to them a little bit here or there. And I think that's a big reason, like, you know, Josh has been able to hit plays man-to-man. John Brown, deep, you know, last year when they're down and he finds them. Stephon Diggs had a big day. A couple big catches. I think that is one of the reasons why. Just the type of defense that they present. I don't think their roster is really that deep. Last year, I think was it Byron Jones or was it Stephen Howard? I think
Byron Jones got hurt. Yeah.
Yep. Igbinogene came in. That's the guy you were trying to pronounce.
I'm just calling him Noah I because I'm not even, forget it. I'm just not going to do the last name.
So, you know, I don't think they've had quite the depth some other teams have had. So, you know, the back end has been kind of top heavy, you know what I mean? And, you know, if you can get beyond a guy, or if you can have a game plan to say, hey, we're not going to attack this guy and Xavier Howard's there and go somewhere else, that's helped. But, you know, it's also, I just think Josh is a gamer, you know, and yesterday we talked a lot in the Extra Point show about Miami Week and what Miami Week means. And I'm not saying Josh knows all the history of that or is deeply rooted in Buffalo versus Miami, but, you know, there is a little special edge, I think, that comes along with that game within the organization. And, you know, I think Josh is a gamer and that helps as well. But I do think it's defensively, they've presented some more opportunities than other teams do simply because of their scheme and the players the Bills have to go against that.
It's interesting, Sal, the discussion we were just having about, you know, stay true to your identity. Let's flip it around to the Miami side. In this discussion of what you just said, right, Josh has played well against them. They like man-to-man. And Josh, and especially since, you know, they got Beasley and Brown and Diggs and now Sanders, they should do well against man-to-man. So if you're Miami, okay, I read a stat that the Steelers played zone against the Bills more than about 75% of the time. And obviously they were very successful. And statistically, the Bills the last 2 years since the start of last season have not been as good on offense against zones as they have been against man-to-man defense. But Miami loves man-to-man defense, and their corners are really good. So if you're the Dolphins, what do? Do you say, hey, we're doing what we do best? Or do they go and say, screw it, the Steelers played zone and they were good. Let's go throw zone at them and see how it works.
They'll probably mix up a little bit. I think they'll stay to who they are. I mean, mm-hmm. That's what teams do. We are who we are. We're going to stay true to who we are. And when you start tinkering with that and getting away from all that, your basic principles, that's when you get in trouble, right? So I don't expect them to go away from that. Do I expect maybe a few more different looks and wrinkles? Absolutely. That's what you should do. You have to be willing to do that at some point throughout the game. So I don't expect them to go away from who they are and what they do best. I'm always interested in, is Xavien Howard, for example, going to shadow and follow around Stephon Diggs, right? I mean, those are the kinds of things you think about. How do they do that within their scheme? But no, I don't expect them to go away from who they are. But they'll probably figure out and they'll probably say, look, these are some of the things that maybe when you get to a third and six or longer, you play a little more zone, keep everything underneath, make sure the Bills have to work for what they get. But no, I would think Brian Flores would be making a mistake for his own team. Same thing I say about the Bills and Brian Daboll, if they go too far away from who they are. This is who they are. This is their identity. This is what they work on.
The John Feliciano story with the weight loss, right? So apparently he lost like 20 pounds in the offseason. Is this an issue? Is that part of the reason why maybe he was struggling on Sunday, or pretty much he was going up against a beast?
I mean, I'd rather not just point to that. I think if this continues, then you might want to say that. I mean, he was going against a really good player, mm-hmm. as you say, a really good front. You know, let's see how he handles as the season goes on. You know, we asked Brian Daboll about that a few weeks ago, I guess, during the preseason it was. And he said, you know, he didn't mind at all. And, you know, he thinks he still brings the same toughness, but he's a little more agile and mobile, and he can play a little better in space, you know, being a little bit lighter. So I think this was a concern. It was a talking point. And now after week one, you look back and go, you know, what's going on here? But I think it's too early to make that determination, especially considering who they played. The front mm-hmm. they're playing this week is not the same front, right? Right. Most teams aren't as the Steelers. That's not a shot at the Dolphins. I mean, you know, most teams don't have that group. So, you know, let's see what he can do this week. Let's see what the entire offensive line can do this week. This is a big week for them, I think. I those guys have a lot of pride. They've been hearing us talk and people talk and write about them for the last few days about, you know, how poor they played and the holding penalties and giving up too much pressure and people showing videos of them getting beat and one-on-one matchups. I expect them to have a bit of an edge this week. I really do. Now, what that means and how that translates, I don't know. I'm not telling you they're going to go out there and run for 300 yards, but those guys have pride. Don't ever fool yourself. Like, that's something I'm sure that they're noticing, and they're going to go out there and try and prove that what they put on film last week is not who they are.
Now, I think Sean McDermott was asked about starting lineup changes yesterday. I don't recall if the question was it specifically about offensive line or not. But when it comes to the offensive line, you know, the Bills were looking at kind of three guys were rotating in, going after two spots in the preseason at guard, right, with Ford and Bodker mm-hmm. and Feliciano. They rotated Ford and Bodker through the first four series the other day, and I think it was pretty much Ford after that. What are the chances they would get Bodker in for some snaps in Feliciano's spot? Or is that me overreacting to the Steelers game?
I think it's a bit, but no, I think you're – it's possible, Howard. I mean, considering what you just said, how he looked, what if that happens in the first couple series and they say, hey, we got to do a little something here. I think it's a bit of an overreaction thing because I think John Feliciano's been a good player for them for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have a very good game. Neither did Deion Dawkins. I don't think you suddenly want to start putting in Spencer Brown and changing out all these things. I think you got to let this play out a little bit. If things start happening and going awry, then I do think you have to kind of think about what you want to do, especially with a guy like Bodker, who he has been in that rotation. He has never been kind of ruled out as a guy who's going to play. He's going to start. He did get some snaps last week. Again, this is a different defensive front. Maybe there's a certain matchup they like and say, oh, maybe that will work a little bit better for us. So, yeah, It is a typical overreaction to a loss, right? There's no doubt. Well, change this, change that. This guy shouldn't be playing. Put this guy in. I'm not saying you're suggesting they have to do that, but I also note that Sean McDermott did not close that door.
Yeah.
He didn't close the door, right? He basically said what he always says, which is we're working through that, and we're going to see, and you know the best players are going to play. Sean McDermott doesn't want anyone to ever feel comfortable, and I've made it, and I can just rest on who I am, and I have my starting spot. And that's part of that messaging that he does. But I think it's noteworthy that, you know, he's not saying, no, we're not making a change there. He didn't say that.
In terms of Miami, and we'll get into the matchup a little bit more tomorrow, Sal, but in terms of Miami, how much more challenging will defending the Dolphins' passing game be with two guys they didn't have to worry about last year facing Miami, Waddle and Fuller?
It's more challenging because they're better. They're good players, right? I mean, we know that. You know, Waddle's a good slot receiver. He was a really excellent college football player. But there's only one football, and you're going to stick to who you are. The Bills have a good defense. They have an all-pro cornerback in Tre'Davious White. I'm also interested in how they play it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the first game in game action, regular season, for Tua to be thrown to Will Fuller. You wonder what that looks like. It's kind of the same with the Bills with last week with Emmanuel Sanders, right? There were a couple of missed opportunities there. And you wonder if that's, a chemistry thing in the first game for them. So, sure, they have good players. But I don't think it's suddenly like, oh, my God, like, what do we do here? Like, mm-hmm. The Bills are confident in who they are. I really like the way the defense played last week. I think the Bills' defense is in for a bounce-back year. I've felt that. And this is about the quarterback, though. You look at his numbers last week. 16 of 27, 202 yards. Those aren't blow-you-away type of numbers, It was J.C. Jackson who said,
"Yeah,
once he gets past his first read, once you take away his first read, if you do, then you have more opportunity." However he phrased
it. He's just going to throw it out there. He's just going to throw it up there or something like that. Yeah,
that's right. So you wonder, too, are they going to go into this game and say, we're going to force it into Waddle or Fuller because he's back? And if they do that, I think that plays into the Bills' hands, right? So the guy that's hurt the Bills here, last year was Gesicki.
Yeah,
so that's the matchup I think you worry about, which is because Tua, he's going to look for his outlet guy. Gesicki, they got him matched up on Levi Wallace. That was a tough matchup for the Bills last year. Yeah, the wide receivers are good. I think Devontae Parker's a really good player. I think, I have to look yesterday, was it him or Preston Williams, I think, on the injury report?
Williams.
And there's a good player as well. So they have weapons, but it's about the quarterback. Can the quarterback get it to all of those guys? And the Bills, as long as they play what they normally do on defense, they're going to have a lot of confidence in themselves.
Yeah, you stole my final question about Gesicki because I think, I don't want it to overplay this like it sounds like we're talking about Kittle or Kelsey, but I think you had to be impressed with what you saw from Gesicki last year, whether it was Fitzpatrick or Tua Tagovailoa. He's a tough matchup. He's a good player. He's a really good outlet, even though they've extended the depth of their receiving core or improved the depth of their receiving core. Gesicki was problematic last year. I think he's a real nice tight end.
I do too. I like him as a player. And that was a matchup they got. Now, it was more in the first game, obviously, we're talking about, and that was with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think Fitz did a really good job of getting that matchup and throwing that matchup. Obviously, the offensive coordinator, too. But then I'll go back to the year before that when they played in Buffalo. Remember, Miami was winless, and they came to Buffalo, and mm-hmm. they almost won. Tre'Davious White had the interception at the goal line.
Yep.
In that game, if you remember, he also targeted Levi Wallace all game. And then White made the interception the one time he went to him, right? And I think that was Fitz being really smart and knowing. And I'm not saying Tua can't do that, but I do think now, here's a guy in his second year, and you wonder, like, is he going to be able to get those matchups that he wants and be able to get the ball to where he wants? Because Fitz was really smart in how he kind of played that. So there's a lot on Tua to be able to do that if they want to get to that matchup, And then you look at their stats. Last week, Gaskin, the running back, he led their team in catches, by the way. He had five. They're gonna throw underneath. They're gonna throw to the running back. They're gonna throw to the tight end. So I think that's the matchup where they might want to test the Bills a little bit. The Bills did a good job against the tight end last week, against the Steelers tight ends. Matt Milano, I thought, had a good game. He's part of that coverage unit. But I think that's where we talk about all the receivers. You got to watch out for what this team wants to do underneath, because that's how they're going to try and get some yards on you.
Hey, listen, stay hydrated. It's going to be a little, you're a Florida, you've got experience, I should say, living in Florida, so you would know, but
yeah.
I'm talking 88 for the high, 78% humidity and 40% chance of some scattered tea storms in the afternoon, but should be hot and humid Sunday, so drink up this week.
So two things on that. Number one, it's supposed to be like 85 here on like Monday and Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, so it's going to be hot here anyway. So we'll go from down there to do that and then back here, and it's going to be really hot. The other thing is, so it's interesting. Jordan Poyer was just kind of asked about that yesterday when he was talking with the media. You know, and he was talking about how the training staff has a plan and all that. And he said around the facility, they actually have like body mass index, right? Mm-hmm. And how if you weigh a certain amount, this is how much you should drink. If you weigh this amount, this is how much you should drink. I just found that interesting. They're like, he said, yeah, around the whole facility, like they're always messaging that.
Yeah.
So you know, these are things that they think about throughout the week to make sure these guys, it's not just like on Thursday or Friday and like, hey, let's drink a lot of Gatorade, right? I mean, it's not that. But I thought it was interesting that he said that and how they kind of have that messaging throughout the week and exactly what you know what you should do.
Well, and I don't want to hear about you cramping up while you're moving up and down the sideline on Sunday, so make
sure. No, it's good. I'm good. And you know what? I actually, we're going to have Patrick Hammer on tomorrow for a weather report on our Extra Point show, but he said to me earlier this week, though, there's a pretty decent chance of rain on Sunday, so you know, we'll see. We'll get more of a feel for that, but that's always down there,
isn't that Florida? You know, overall,
that could always be. And once that rain comes, man, if it rains and then it stops, then it gets really hot and humid.
Yeah. All right, sir, we'll see you at 10 o'clock.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Sal, of course, will be in at 10 bringing you the Extra Point show with Joe DiBiase. Stay tuned for that. Sal's segment with us brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? 803-0550 to join us. What are the biggest concerns or questions you have about this matchup in particular Sunday when the Bills take on the Dolphins? Hey, reminder, you can let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills this season. All you need to do is visit WGR550.com. Look for the TRS Heating and Air Conditioning Intercept Your Heating Bills contest link. And then enter for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating bills this winter. At the end of the pro football regular season, one lucky winner will be randomly selected from among all the entries we receive to win.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
dynamic athlete and an explosive hockey player. Certainly excited to really now get a chance to be on the ice and start working with him. And then we'll see what happens at camp. But from coaching at the international level, and we were slated to play Germany if the Worlds didn't get canceled a couple years ago when I was at USA. And so I watched him closely, and I knew the dangers that a lot of that birth year was going to possess. But JJ is one of those rare guys that has the speed and the skill and the explosiveness of elite, dynamic offensive players, but also has the lurking goal-scoring ability that more of the intelligent offensive players have. So he is shown at the younger age groups to have that really good combination of speed mixed with the cerebral goal-scoring ability that all special goal scorers have.
That is Amherst coach Seth Appert. He is part of the group that is running the prospects camp that opened up yesterday, and he's talking about J.J. Paterka. Quick note, I know Jeremy wants to bring something up too. So there is a prospects challenge. It is back. It is this weekend. Friday night at 7, the Sabres will play the Devils prospects. We will have that game for you on WGR. It'll be Paul Hamilton, Brian Koziel, and Brayton bringing you that. And then Saturday, there's a 3 o'clock game against the Bruins prospects, again, on WGR. And actually at 2 o'clock, preceding the game, we'll have a roundtable with Paul and Brian and Brayton. So stay tuned for that hockey content coming up this weekend.
On that, the Ryder Cup and that Brooks Koepka thing real quickly, like Koepka, we went over the sound yesterday, what he had to say about the Ryder Cup, and golf is a very individual sport.
Yes.
You know, his entire career, you know, sure you're on a golf team, but maybe in college, but you're still competing in your own matches. You're doing your own thing. Alternate shot format in the Ryder Cup, it's, you know, it's very different. And Koepka's comment was simply that, you know, when he plays for a major, when he really gets dialed in, he likes to nap. He likes to have pre-round rituals, and that with the Ryder Cup, there's no time for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard. He said he's exhausted at the end of the round on Sunday. And here's Paul Azinger saying, like, if you don't love it, you shouldn't be in it.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, when you brought it up yesterday on the show, I did not take it as anything to be upset about. Like, what the hell, man? Then don't be on the team. I think he was making valid points.
Sure.
Again, it's a different approach. I was thinking about tennis, but I don't think it works as strongly as it does in golf. I mean, you do have doubles, and you could have Davis Cup. So there is mostly individual, but some team performance in tennis. But I think he makes a valid point. If you're used to, you're on the island. It's all about you. I mean, if you screw up, you got nobody to blame except yourself. There's no coach to say, well, you know, the game plan was bad. You know, he told me to take this shot. It's you. So I don't have a problem with what he said. I don't think he was saying, I don't want to play for my country. I don't want to play in the Ryder Cup. I mean, I would look at the Ryder Cup as a really exciting experience to be a part of. But I understand what he said. If you're used to doing it one way, and then all of a sudden you go from individual to up team strategy, coaches, my teammate can put me in a bad spot, I've got to pick his game up type of thing, I would assume the Ryder Cup is really draining because it feels like that's really intense.
Maybe for some it might be really fun. I mean, it just depends on, you know, your own individual approach and I guess how you approach it, your rituals. Yeah, if he didn't want to be in it, he would just say no thanks.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to go. So, I mean, you know, here's Paul Azinger telling him not to play. He also said, you know, because if you had the DeChambeau dynamic, that they don't like each other, he doesn't really want to be around him. I've got DeChambeau, meanwhile, saying that his hands are destroyed
yeah,
from
right?
working out and the long drive stuff.
Okay, yeah, okay. Right? He said his hands are wrecked or something's going on?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you ever wreck your hands in golf?
I mean, you could get blisters, I guess.
That's why you wear gloves.
It is.
I assume.
Yeah, it helps.
I don't know.
Anyway, the stuff about Brooks and his routines, like, I found that to be interesting. Didn't we learn about Josh Allen's routines?
Yeah.
This week he throws up before every game.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a weird comparison, but if he were, for instance, not allowed to throw up before a game,
maybe he didn't throw up before the Steelers game because he threw up during the game. Sorry.
Koepka wants a nap. Yeah. Josh Allen wants to puke.
Right.
Like, you know. You need your routines.
Whatever you do to get yourself into the game, right? Yeah, I didn't realize that. I mean, maybe we heard that once before, because I think it would have made me think about Jim Kelly, who I believe also threw up before every game. And people looked at that as, okay, Jim's ready for the game. He just puked. Like, if he didn't throw up, like, oh God, Jim's not into the game. So yeah, there's an article at our website, actually. And Alan talked about, he was on the Zach Moss's Moss Mode show and said that he's slightly superstitious. Unless we're playing a night game, I don't eat on game days. And then he said after pregame, I go in and throw up. Hey, man.
I don't eat on game days.
He doesn't eat on game days unless they're playing a night game. So if it's a 1 o'clock, I guess, or even a 4 o'clock, he's not going to eat. But then if he doesn't eat, what's he throwing up before game time?
It's a good water, I guess.
Last night's dinner? I mean, I did. Not that I need to delve into details on someone vomiting. And then he said his music. Now, I don't know if you have a routine before game day, but Josh has, he said, quote, I've got like 7 songs on the playlist. It's all old school. Just want to say, this actually is older than me, so it is
okay.
Old school.
Okay.
Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., and Elvis. That is old school, by the way. Music to just try and keep me calm. And then, honestly, the right sock has to be on the right foot. The left sock has to be on the left foot. And then when I tighten my shoulder pads, I have to have 6 loops on each side. I like symmetry. I like being as symmetrical as possible. I've got to have 6 on this side and 6 on this side. With my volumes on my TV or my radio in the car, it's got to be an even number at all times. If I turn my car off and I accidentally hit the volume button while I'm looking away, I'll have to turn the car back on, make it even, and then turn the car off.
So I have a follow-up question for all of that for him. If we ever get a chance to talk to him, why does he wear number 17 then?
Ooh, that's not a symmetrical number.
He's all about even numbers. Why is he wearing an odd number?
Yeah, and he's playing in a 17-game season. He probably would have voted against that. Yeah, how about, so I mean, whatever, throwing up before the game? Right. I mean, athletes have done that. It's not a short list. The songs, yeah, sure. You get your music, whatever your pregame routine is fine. By the way, good choices. Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., and Elvis. I mean, come on, that's pretty good. But the whole thing about the socks and the symmetry and then the volume number has to be even? Is that like OCD-ish? I'm not really sure. Like, I just thought that was some of the stuff. I'm like, okay, yeah, game day routines. Like Zach Moss said he has a game day routine. He said since his since he started playing running back his senior year of high school, every game day, he watches highlights of Ricky Williams in college and Marshawn Lynch when he was in Seattle. And he does that every game day. Those are the only two people he watches every game day to get ready to play. Okay, that's cool. You know, and like I said, Josh's stuff is cool. Just the whole thing about volume levels and numbers and symmetry, and I even get the whole 6 loops on each side. You know, I bet guys, I mean, there must be guys that have superstitions like I tie the laces on my left cleat before the right cleat. I'm sure there's lots of that stuff.
I bet a lot of people that have things like this too. Like, I'm trying to think of anything of mine that applies this way. You might not even know that you have them until someone says, hey, do you do that every time? Like,
fair.
Actually, yeah, I guess I do it every time.
Right. I can't think of it. I mean, I'm not a athlete, so what the hell would I have? I don't know if you do something before you play golf, before every shot, before every round. But I'm sure they're, you know, I bet guys have the way.
Before every round of golf, I think I'm going to do well. It just doesn't always happen.
And then you throw up after your round of golf. That's, see, yours is more of a post-performance vomiting as opposed to a pre-performance vomiting. Yeah, that's fine. I'm not surprised by the game day rituals. I just thought the volume, like turning the car, I accidentally hit the knob, turn the car back on, adjust the volume to an even number, and then shut the motor off. I thought that was kind of. Wow, that's pretty heavy duty ritual stuff.
I've been meaning to check out Zach Moss's podcast. He's had, you know, Bill's guests on,
and
especially for a guy that got scratched.
Is he playing Sunday?
I want to hear his side of the story or what he says about that.
Yeah,
it is the running back situation for the Bills. You know, we went to the offseason thinking, maybe you want to upgrade at that position, and here we are after one game, and I don't know if they have. I mean, Singletary looked pretty good, I guess. Moss, it would just be amazing if he went from, oh, no, he's not available in the AFC Championship game to, oh, yeah, he doesn't really play anymore.
Yeah, is he playing Sunday? I mean, I would assume, Jeremy, even if they wanted to, quote, run the ball more this Sunday, they're not going to activate all 3 guys, right? It wouldn't make any sense to have Singletary and Moss and Breida active, and you still need Reggie Gilliam, who is technically listed as a fullback, and Tywan Jones for special teams purposes. Where are you going short to have your top three running backs all active. So I think that is one of the things to monitor each week, to hold game plan specific, which guy sits. You know, so they liked Singletary's camp, right? They liked this preseason. He got the majority of the carries. He had more than Breida, obviously, last Sunday. I would assume he'd be active again against Miami. So do they say, okay, Matt Breida, who does special teams work, by the way, you're down, and Moss is going to play against the Dolphins because we might run the ball a little bit more, and we like Moss against that defense. That's one of the many storylines to track each week, because I just don't know if they're going to activate all three running backs. I don't think it makes sense to do that.
Yeah,
certainly not on a team that we still think is going to throw the ball more often than it runs the ball each week. 803-0550 to join us. What the heck?
You got the same tweet
I just did. Yeah, I'm just – is this the one about
sand? Let's connect with our fans, brought to you by Bond, Chenick and Canada, full-service Buffalo law firm.
That's why I'm laughing.
We talked about the Toy Hall of Fame and how sand is up for the Toy Hall of Fame. Devin writes in, I'm listening back to the first hour. You guys talking about this. Did they ask God to come down and give the Hall of Fame acceptance speech on behalf of sand? Like, right. Who introduces sand? Rocks?
Yeah, right. This would be the whole point of, who created sand? That would be
Hasbro.
God.
What was Hasbro?
Hasbro?
Yeah.
So the CEO, now speaking, representing God, is the CEO of Hasbro, Brayton Wilson, accepting the award.
Parker Brothers, right? That's the name of
the big board game company,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they made all the
I thought you were talking about Owen Leo for a second.
Very nice. Milton Bradley will be accepting the award on behalf of sand. Yeah, I mean, look, they're right. In terms of legacy and old-timer, sand's been around for a long time. I'll check the exact year on date of birth for sand. 803. Thank you, Devin, for the tweet. That was funny. 803-0550 to join us. Hey, top of the hour, we're going to talk more about the Bills matchup with Miami. Brandon Gaudin will join us. He is he's got the play-by-play for Fox on Sunday. So we'll be chatting with him. I'm looking forward to this because I learned he is also, or has been for what, I think 5 years now, the voice of Madden NFL. Very excited about that. You can join us too. What are the biggest questions or concerns you might have specifically on the matchup Sunday against the Miami Dolphins? 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, pick of the week time, Mr. Jeremy White. Is there a Mr. Jeremy White in the building? Oh, you're not in the building, actually. He's actually at home this morning. You're not in the building. You're at home.
No, I'm at home.
By the way, I did hear from one of the twins in the last segment. Thank you for that.
Yeah, maybe it was if I didn't turn the microphone down, you would have heard from a lot of them.
Oh, okay.
It was chaos. Hey, it's time for the pick of the week. Pick of the week's a 2015 Cadillac Escalade, four-wheel drive, four-door premium from Riverfront Auto Sales. Have a big family, just want to plow through the snow this winter, the Escalade is perfect for you. It's got a black exterior, black leather, powerful 6.2-liter V8 engine, and you won't find a better deal than with my friends Marty Sr. and Marty Jr. Pictures all over the place at the website, riverfrontautosales.com. The 2015 Escalade, only at Riverfront. Call 886-1626. My pick of the week. Never pick the Bills game. Just not again. We just don't do that. Let's go with the Chanticleers and the QB Bulls.
Wow. Look at you.
I mean, anytime we get a chance to talk about the Chanticleers, I'm going to want to do it. Number 16, Coastal Carolina. Hey, UB welcoming a ranked opponent. You know,
indeed,
that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. National TV.
Yes. So that's noon on Saturday. And
ESPN2.
That's the pick of the week.
Yeah. ESPN2 and... also, as is the case with every UB football game this season, on the Bet 1520. The reason why I wanted to mention that was because I forgot and called it ESPN 1520 the other day. So it is the Bet 1520 if you're looking for the UB Bulls game on the radio. Actually, you know what's happening this weekend? I got to see when the last – Oklahoma's playing Nebraska. Now, it'll probably be a blowout. I would think Oklahoma, I watched Nebraska last week beat UB, but I don't think Nebraska's any great shakes. So my guess is the Sooners will just romp them. But this was one of the great rivalry matchups when they were in the Big 8. And I think they would have still been in the Big 12 before Nebraska went to the Big 10. Couldn't even tell you the last time they played. I feel like it's been a long time. But Oklahoma-Nebraska is on tap this weekend as well in college
football.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah, that was always Ohio State-Michigan, Oklahoma-Nebraska, I don't know, Texas-Oklahoma, USC-UCLA. Like, I'm trying to think, like, my heyday in the 70s when I started watching sports, those were probably the four marquee games you would watch every single year. Like, you would look forward to Oklahoma-Nebraska. They were always great programs, great coaches, national championship contenders, huge rivals, and it was always Oklahoma and Nebraska for the Big 8, and I believe they would have been locked into the Orange Bowl way back when. So that was, I always look forward to Oklahoma-Nebraska. But it won't be a good game this weekend. Like I said, I'm pretty sure the Sooners will blow them out.
Also this weekend, Alabama-Florida.
Oh, that could be, right? That should be a good game, right? I haven't seen Florida yet this year. Alabama's, well, still Alabama.
It's in the swamp, too.
All right. So maybe that means it might be a closer game or maybe doable for Florida because Alabama still looks like they're completely loaded. 803-0550 to join us.
Quick, one more question.
Yeah.
Have you watched the Mets thing yet?
No. No, I'm not going to get to it till this weekend. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why? Did you see any of it?
No, but I'm. It's going to be on the list of things because, you know, the 86 Mets, what's it called? It's the...
Once Upon a Time in Queens.
There you go. The Netflix, ESPN. Right?
Yeah.
30 for 30. Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's going to be good.
Yeah,
Daryl Strawberry,
I think
Doc
so.
Gooden, Lenny Dykstra. It's going to be Keith Hernandez.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to be
I don't
wild.
Know. Yeah, I'm not... Good might be... I'm not sure if I will use the word good. It should be interesting. I'm not sure, you know, that I'm going to want to hear some of the hijinks and stuff they were doing, but that's definitely a get through the week, chill out, pour a glass of wine or my favorite beverages and go sit and watch the special. So that'll wait for the weekend.
Gotta pour some of that cupcake vodka on the rocks.
You know, honestly, guys, I have become a wine person of late.
Mm.
Yeah, there's been a shift in my drinking habit. Since we went to Alexandra Bay and we did some wine tasting and we got this wine called North Country Red, it's delicious. So, and I think I can get a quicker buzz from the wine than the cupcake vodka. So I'm all about, give me a glass of wine and I'm good on Friday night. That is my drink of choice now.
And the good news is when watching the Mets thing, that Mets team's going to win when you watch them.
Yeah.
You know, you're locked into a good time.
That's true, right? What do you mean they blew the lead in Houston. They're going to lose to Mike Scott in game 7. Damn it. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure they're actually going to win the world. And I feel like something bad's going to happen to Bill Buckner. If I just had to make a guess on things, I just don't want to hear about, you know, these guys were idiots off the field and they were jerks and their behavior. And, you know, I mean, you told me, right? You had me start reading that book.
The Bad Guys Won.
And I didn't finish the book because I didn't. I mean, some of the stuff they did was just reprehensible, basically, you know?
Yeah, then you might not like this 30
that's,
for 30.
And that's like why I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
You know, when you said, I think it'll be good, I think it'll be interesting. But if you hold that team, that's my last world championship. If you hold that team in rarefied air, and then you hear, oh, well, they were kind of jerky. You know, that's kind of, you know, it just kind of gets you as a sports fan when you hear, like, things that are knocked down a team you hold in particular warmest regards. But we'll see. Maybe that's why I need the wine. 803-0550 to join us. When we get back, Bills Dolphins talk. We'll be joined by Brandon Gaudin. He is calling the game for Fox on Sunday in Miami. So we'll get his thoughts on this matchup. 803-0550 for your thoughts on this matchup on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
We're at
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.